What's up, everybody? It's your girl Robin E. You already know I'm checking in on a brand new episode of Pillow Talk Podcast. Okay, one of the number one podcasts in the Midwest, baby. Y'all already know what's good. Make sure y'all tap in with me on Facebook at Pillow Talk Podcast to see all of the live interviews. You guys can check out all of season three on Facebook if you want to see it live and in action. You can also check it out on YouTube at Robin E. Vet, but y'all already know that. Bringing you guys today, man, yo, listen, this is an interview that was long overdue, okay, and life is crazy, things move around, people get busy, you know, we get it, but I'm so happy we were able to do this before the end of the year, because I know in my heart that this artist will be unreachable come next year. So I had Afrobeat artist Jesse Nation slide through on Pillow Talk Podcast. Super, super dope artist, man. He's one of my favorite newer Afrobeat artists coming out of the Chicagoland area. And for those that don't know, Afrobeats is taking shits over right now, okay? They are literally combining the Afrobeat aesthetic with R&B and soul and rock and rap. And they're just making it just fire, just making it pop, okay? And he's one of those artists that's definitely doing that. We chopped it up about his new single, No Fugazi. So make sure that y'all keep listening, because I did give y'all a little teaser of that during the interview. His story is truly, truly inspiring, and I can't wait to see what he does next. Y'all do know this man done worked with Kanye West. Keep listening. New episode dropping right now. Mobile bartending needs, both public and private, reach out to Drinks Galore. They provide a wide range of package deals available on their website, drinksgalore.com. Book Drinks Galore. Cheers and enjoy.
My no fugazi. Guys on my neck, drip too hard as a coco summer. 7 days strong, not for the week as a coco summer. Man, no fugazi,
no fugazi,
no fugazi,
no fugazi.
Man, no fugazi,
man, no fugazi,
no fugazi,
no fugazi.
Bang, tan like a character, too cold Antarctica. Can't strap man with a fast car. Now maybe the mud in my axe up. Smell like the yard, put the max up. Too cold, I bring the eyes in summer. Don't you know I pull the ass in stunner? Some for the beat like who's man. But I don't get any me. 10 toes on my feet. Pass me like one or three. 10 toes.
Yes, what's up everybody, Robin E back in the building, you know what I'm saying, doing what I does, how I do it. Shout out to everybody that tunes in to Pillow Talk Podcast. Make sure that you guys subscribe, like, all of that jazz, okay, all of that jazz. Super excited to be back in the purple room, y'all. This is the last month for Pillow Talk Podcast this year, so, you know, we gotta hit it with a bang. I'm super duper excited to have this artist on the show. We've been trying to get this thing going for some seasons at this point. So I'm happy we were able to do it. I wish he could have been here in the studio, but we're going to rock it anyway. So we have international Afrobeat star, okay, music artist Jesse Nation in the building. Yes. What's up?
I'm Gucci. Oh. I'm good. How you doing?
I'm good. Happy to have you here. Definitely appreciate you coming on the show.
It is my pleasure. Your energy is always, always like electrifying.
Okay. Yes. For the energy. We're going to clap it up again, y'all. Yes. That's what I like to hear. No, I appreciate that. But you are an amazing, you know, Afrobeat artist, international artist at this point. You've been just doing a lot, you know, for music. So for those that don't know you, we want to just kind of get a little bit into kind of how you got started, you know, and where you're from. So what exactly is, you know, your cultural background, to be specific?
Well. My name is Jesse Emehara. I am originally Nigerian. And I always tell people that I'm Nigerian because I am from Hausa and I'm from the Igbo tribe. So I'm kind of mixed in even in the Nigerian culture. So I speak Igbo, Hausa, and 5 other languages. And Afrobeat, I think Afrobeat is just like air, you know, the air we drink, the air we breathe, I mean, the water we drink. It's kind of like that source and that inspiration. And yeah, I'm happy to be doing what I'm doing, what I love doing, and I'm happy to be here.
Yes. Okay, for the 5 languages. Hello. Okay, I love that. I love that. So, you know, growing up for you, when did you come, you know, here to America, or like what was that transition like?
Well, I've been in America for like 6 years now, 6-7 okay. years. And I'll tell you the whole immigrant story. It's not easy. Like first generation, second generation, your parents before them. Like it is not an easy transition. And, you know, from the age of slave trade down to like now, it's not an easy thing to leave your culture, leave your people, and then you have to start unpacking in a whole different environment. It's different. It's difficult, but you know, like God will always say, just follow the light and I'll walk with you.
Mm. Well, amen. Set the light, see the light. I like that. Amen. That is amazing and definitely true. I mean, that's definitely a hard transition trying to readjust. So when you came, you know, over here, did you know already that music was going to be something big of your life, or is that something that kind of just fell into?
Well, music had always been a part of me. Even while I was in college and in high school in Nigeria, we would always, you know, my producer right now, shout out to Samify, we would always, you know, bring the Walkman tape to class, and then we would write poetry, we'd write poems, write letters, write. So we were kind of like the guys who people would run to us to write poetic letters for their girlfriend, you know, stuff like
that's
that.
Right.
So we were kind of like into the music thing. Shout out to, you know, Prince like inspired me a lot, listening to Phil Collins, you know, Marvin Gaye. So these were artists where I was growing up, and then I was listening to them on tape. So they inspired me a lot.
Yes. Okay, because what for the Marvin Gaye? Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I love that. Not you is writing other people's love letters.
Yeah.
Somebody watching this right now, and they wondering if the letter they got was real.
Let me tell you a story. It got to, so there's this a friend of mine, and he was asking this girl out, and I think she didn't really want to give him attention. And then it took 5 of us, because we were these 5 close friends. It took 5 of us to put this letter together, sent it to her. And guess what happened? She read this letter. She was really smart. She read this letter and circled out all the errors in the letter and what? Sent it back to us. We have to step our game up.
Women, we be 10 steps ahead. Whoever she is, I like her. I like her.
Yeah, it was a learning experience for us.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. No, I love that. I think that's creative for sure. And clearly that shows your natural ability to write. So that's what's up.
Thank you.
So then 2020, is that really the year that you really started to pursue music seriously?
2020, I think... I mean, like I said earlier, every immigrant story is difficult, you know,
it comes
with pain. So I would say the first 4 years of my life here was kind of the budding process, where I was trying to find myself, trying to find my community, trying to, you know, get a full-time job and trying to be okay financially. Then we got hit with the pandemic, and then everybody were all locked up. So that was when I was like, you know what? I can start all this stuff that I've been writing. I just need to start, you know, putting them out. My first ever track was a spoken word poem. It's it's somewhere in on YouTube, but that was my first ever production. Was a spoken word poetry. I liked it, and then my friends were like, "Yo, you could do rap. You could, you know, jump on a beat, do something," and that was how like I started making music.
Okay, yes, for the supportive friends, but no, the pandemic really had us messed up. Like, COVID really did a number on everybody.
It did.
Like, just hard as hell. COVID, I mean, and I mean, like, once you, you know, once you found your job and everything like that, and then the pandemic hit, you already had material kind of to put out, I guess. So how did you kind of decide then how you wanted to release it?
To be honest with you, Fever was my first track, and the way I wrote Fever, I wrote Fever in the office.
Okay.
Yeah, so I worked for a publishing firm at that time, and they were like one of the best publishing firm in the country, and they had a studio, and I had access to, you know, Adobe, and then I could use all the applications in Adobe. So I was recording myself. Fever was really, I went in the office, I took a break, went to the production room, recorded myself, sent the stems to my producer, and then he mixed it, and that was my first ever record, and it's a hit.
I know, that's right. It's a hit. Okay, y'all heard him. That shit a hit. What? You did it at the office?
Yeah.
So was it like a one take thing, or did you have to kind of do it like over like a couple days?
It came out like a freestyle. Then I had to sit with it. One thing with me is most of my sound come out like I'm freestyled, and I let them sit with me, let the lyrics then marinate inside of me. Try to like get the lyrics adjusted to like suit a kind of a story, because every song I put out has a story to tell. So I'll kind of, okay, I have a rhythm in my head, but how can I make this rhythm into a story? Then that's where the writing process then comes in.
I love that. I love how you said it's a story. Everything does start with a story. Music essentially is a story, an expression. Yeah. I love how you said that. And yeah, Fever went through the roof. Okay. You get millions of streams. I mean, how did you feel once that went out and you saw all of the, you know, praise you were kind of getting for that?
It felt overwhelming to me because here's why it felt overwhelming, because I felt like I wasn't really getting started. Like that's like, you know how like you're trying to like test the waters and see if really, so Fever is like just a tip of the iceberg of like hits. And ever since then, from Fever till now, like I've been putting out hits. The song, the track that just came out today is already doing numbers, 100,000 streams in less than a couple hours already. So it's like people are listening already.
Yeah.
And it's good. It's just jar.
Nice. I mean, that's amazing though, to be able to have that type of, you know, audience that's so dedicated to you out of the jump like that. I mean, that's amazing, for real.
Yeah. I appreciate all of them, every single one of them. I am who I am today because of them. I feel like I'm an advocate for a lot of voices out there. So what I put out, I really censor a lot. You know, I want to be the voice for the people, and it's just the way it is, and I'm accepting that calling.
Yes, I love that. Make sure that you guys do tap in with his information. I have it scrolling on the bottom of the screen. If you don't know who Mr. Nation is, okay, I need to make sure I check that out for sure. So I want to kind of get into some of your performances and the shows that you've been a part of, because you really just been going crazy. Like, you've been doing a lot. So Nia Marley.
Yeah.
Like, how was that whole experience for you?
So that was my first big performance. I wasn't really nervous because I had been doing this thing already in college. I would go perform in crowd in college. It was already like my thing, but I was nervous to the extent whereby I was the part where I was nervous where I was like, this is my career is really taking off. Like I have to. So every time I get on the stage, it's like a new beginning for me to prove myself to a new fan. So I have a whole canvas now to paint a picture that the people there would like. I can't come there and be trash. When you're trash, nobody's gonna come listen to you tomorrow. So I have to present myself in the best possible way. I'm happy that, you know, the crowd were vibing to it, and you know, I was able to like win a whole lot of crowd. And that was my first show, and I won. That was like the base of my fan base in Chicago, basically.
Yes.
But Nairo Mali was a cool. He was really cool and humble. Meeting him backstage, you know, we got to vibe, and it was a great show that night.
What? That is so, man. And then for that to be like your first like major performance too, and just to be introduced to Chicago like that. And you seem like you're an artist that does take a lot of time to prepare themselves. Like you seem like you're constantly thinking of better ways to deliver yourself.
Yeah. If you don't prepare to win, you're actually preparing to fail. You're preparing either way. So you have to like you got to stay prepared.
Okay. Hold on. Dropping gems. Okay. Dropping gems. I love that. Absolutely. You gotta play to win at all times. You definitely gotta play to win. Yeah. And I mean, you've done some other shows as well, you know, since then too. And then, you know, you had the Kanye, you know, event, Donda, and you were a part of was it on the listening floor? So how was that experience as well?
That was also a life-changing experience for me. That was like, oh my God, I think it's the dream for so many, you know, big name artists out there, because you want to feel that euphoria, that utopia of this. It's like a stadium. You know how the Soldier Field is, and then you're in the middle of that performing for a sold out. Oh my God, I had shivers all around me. But it was an experience that I had to meet and network with a lot of Chicago artists. And I got to understand the Chicago culture, you know, and a lot of artists that embraced me, you know, models, singers, you know, bloggers. Like I met a network. I felt like that was how I even got to meet you, because someone had a mutual friend like that you were following, and then I was following that person, and I saw that your radio station does something like this, and I listened to Pillow Talk, and it was something really, really interesting. And this was when podcasting started at that pandemic time. So, you know, it was one of those moments for me that I cherish, and I always cherish them.
Yes. Okay, shout out to the humble beginnings. Okay, shout out to you. Shout out to you for that. No, but that's amazing. And yeah, that's Kanye West. I mean, he's definitely one of the most prominent artists in the game, but really from Chicago. So when you had that opportunity, you know, to be around people, did that make you feel more certain, like this is what you should be doing, like you're doing the right thing?
So before I answer that question, I just want to give a shout out to Kanye. I know he's going through a lot right now.
Facts. Big facts.
Hold steadfast and Jah got you. And back to your question, I always know that I'm meant to shine. Like I always know that it just had to be a matter of time. And like you said, I'm a big planner. So I've always like, I know where my life is going in 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20 years from now. I know when I'm going to retire from music. So everything I'm doing, everything my label, record label is doing, it's, you know how you just cannot, introduce a whole new sound to people and just expect people to love you like that. So what we're doing is systematically. We're doing it bit by bit. We went to Nigeria for a radio show all around Abuja. We covered the whole city, went to almost 12 radio stations. We're going back again to Lagos. We're doing radio shows here in Chicago. It's meant to be, it's meant to happen, but it's going to take its time. And every card is going to reveal itself. Every card will reveal itself.
Okay, you're getting deep with it now. Hold on now. You're getting real deep with it, Jesse. You're getting deep. No, but I love that. I love that. And I love that you said systematically. I love how you have a plan, a real plan on how you're doing things. When it comes to, you know, music artists and just being in music, do you feel like that's the problem where a lot of other artists may lack, is just not having like a real plan for their music?
Yes, I think so. And I feel like if you're an investor right there, if you're listening to my voice, please look into that artist that needs help. Every artist needs an investor. Imagine you cannot fathom how much talent a 5-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 15-year-old, a 18-year-old, a 20-year-old, a 50-year-old can have. And you never know when that talent needs to be nourished. So it's like when you see that talent, you have to nourish it and you have to like make sure that you invest in it. And that's one issue and one big problem that a lot of artists go through today. We don't have like the investment. We don't have enough cash flow for us to. A lot of artists want to have a team, want to have a band, want to go short to tours. But I mean, it's all cost. At the end of the day, it's capital. It's our money. So investment, investors. Like if you're an investor out there, help your local artists, man. Just invest in them, because at the end of the day, we're the voice of the people. Whatever you put out in the street, it's look at Bob Marley. Look at these are artists who have Tupac. They've been speaking, and whatever they've been speaking, it's happening till today. I feel like history keeps repeating itself. So we play a huge role in community development, and investors need to start investing in artistry.
Okay, what? Y'all, come on now. Come on now. Dropping the gems. Absolutely. We definitely have to invest a lot more independent artists. But yeah, you need a plan. You need to plan your shit, man. You got to plan your shit. You got to plan who you want to work with, and you got to make that shit happen. I'm loving it. I've been grilling you for a minute. You know, let's get to some of the music. You know what I'm saying? So I did play your new single that's out. We're going to run it back. But before we get to it, what's the vibe? Because you're giving some real like Afro trap a little bit. I don't know. What's the vibe with the new single? What's the vibe?
So the single is kind of, it's a new tape from my next EP, which is called PENG, which is Pen Not Gone. It's just an acronym meaning Pen Not Gone. So I'm trying to get kids to rely more on the pen, which is a more powerful weapon than the gun. But Fugazi is kind of like, it's kind of like a bragging rights story, a bragging rights song. Like, look, a pen can get you this, a pen can make you cold. I'm too cold. 7 days, no week. I'm not weak 7 days and I got chains. Like, it's just like a bragging rights song that it's just telling you that you can't do this without shedding blood, without gum and all that.
Okay. You feeling yourself. What are you talking about? One of those. No. No, I love it though. I really love the song. I was loving the vibes of it. So let's listen to some of it. No Fugazi. We'll play some so y'all can get the vibes real quick.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Guys on my neck, drip too hard as a cocoa summer. 7 days strong, not for the week as a cocoa summer. Man, no Fugazi. No Fugazi. Man, no Fugazi. No fugazi. Hey. Guys, on my neck, drip too hard as a coco summer.
I got a little ice.
7 days strong, not for the week as a coco summer. Man, no fugazi.
No fugazi.
No fugazi.
No fugazi.
Man, no fugazi.
Man, no fugazi.
No fugazi.
No fugazi.
Bang, bang like a character. Too cold Antarctica. Cause drop on with a fast car. Let me be the mind in my axe.
You going too crazy. You going too crazy. Yeah, he going too crazy on it. That shit make me want to ride up on a nigga and like flash 101,000 ones or something. Like, nigga, no fugazi. What you talking about? Chain on, you know? No, but I love that. Yeah. I love that. You know what I'm saying? No, but I love that. I think that's a fire song. Like I said, the vibe of it. I mean, obviously you can tell, you know, that you have the Afrobeat, you know, kind of in there, but this is like a whole nother mixture, you know, this is real like combining kind of the hip hop vibe, you know, with that. So I love that with the album. Appreciate the single. I think that's dope.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
I think that's dope.
Thank you.
So this will be a part of the new EP you said,
yeah.
That'll be coming out next year.
Yeah, this year actually. Before
Year? Okay.
November, yeah, it's gonna should be like a 4 or 5 track EP, and
okay,
yeah, you guys should look forward to it, look up to it. Like, it's gonna be crazy, it's gonna be mad. Like, ooh. Every track I put out, I already have a visual to it, like how the video is gonna look like. So, I'm much more excited for the video.
Oh snap! Okay, what's the vibe? Can we get a little synopsis on what the video might look like?
Have you seen Drumline?
Yeah.
So have you seen like what they're doing? So this is a different track in the EP, but the EP is gonna be like I said, it's gonna tell a whole story. But this song actually is called "Real Nigga Was Up." So okay. It's kind of telling all my niggas in the hood, in the slum, everywhere. Like, I'm waking you guys up, like. Real nigga was up. So it's going to start like, you know, drum line. Like, so it will start with the band. So you're kind of mixing drum line. Imagine mixing drum line and then Kendrick Lamar type of vibe.
And okay.
Whole type of rap into it.
You had me at drum line. So as soon as you said that, I was like, yeah, that shit going to be raw. Raw as fuck.
Yeah. Just look out for it, for real.
Okay.
I would send the material to you even before it's out for you to check it out.
That's how you got to do it. That's how you need to do it. No, I would love to. I know that's going to be fire. I know that's going to be fire. Now, you said you're going to be doing this or releasing this new project before the year's over, but you did release, you know, another project as well, you know, Reports from Space, Volume 2. So how do you feel like your new EP will be different from this project that you released?
So, how am I gonna first put this? You know how when you went back, if you go back to our previous conversation, I said I'm a big planner, right? Now, Reports from Space Volume 1 actually had been songs that I had written long ago. I just want to, just like lost tape, I just want to get them out of the way. Then, okay. Volume 2, when I looked at my tape, there's still a couple more tapes. Let me just get Volume 2 out of the way. Now, Pen Project, now it's kind of like, okay, the songs that I've been writing from the pandemic.
Okay.
So from 2020, 2021 till now. So those are like the songs that I've been like writing. So I want to like systematically just put them out so people can see the growth. I don't want to go put out, you know, a track that it's really just going to tell a story, going to tell how my growth. You can, if you compare Wizkid's song, all the songs he sang in his first album, if you compare the production, the quality, the voicing, the mastering, with Wizkid right now, it's way different. So that's how I tell the story. With people will be like, oh shit, we love Jesse of 2025. He's getting better.
Okay, get more, getting better with it. I like that. We see the evolution of the artistry. I like that. Absolutely, I like that. Now, I gotta get your opinion, you know, on some new music that obviously dropped. So, you know, Drake and 21 Savage just dropped Her Loss, and it's been, you know, some speculation online about what's being said, you know, things of that nature. So as an artist, for one, did you listen to the album?
So for one, I followed the album, and I know he's currently dissing with Stallion. Mm-hmm. Megan Thee Stallion about he threw a jab at her in the album, but I really haven't like listened to it because I've been working on dropping my EP like for past week now, but I definitely would look into it.
And that's also, cool.
Rest in peace, Takeoff. His death also, you know, was also like a factor for me. Like I was so sad with hip hop. There's a whole lot of factors that just I haven't really just want to go into like the I haven't really been following after the death of Takeoff. I was just done. Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, let's definitely talk about that a little bit. Definitely sudden, unexpected, and the circumstances are, you know, still kind of blurry. But looking at the circumstances, I mean, I feel as though when you get to that certain level of, you know, celebrity, it's certain things you just can't do anymore. And I feel like that was just an unfortunate situation. Something he probably does all the time. You know what I'm saying? They probably do that type of stuff all the time, but I don't know, man. When you get to a certain level, it's just like certain shit you just can't be involved in anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I feel you. And I even heard that he wasn't part of the people playing
Alien.
He was the most silent voice in the room, you know. But rest in peace. God bless his soul. And we're definitely going to meet in heaven someday.
For sure. Absolutely. We have to definitely give condolences to that. But no, I mean, yeah, obviously everybody hasn't listened to the album yet. Just wanted to throw it out there. But the purpose of me bringing that up.
I would throw the question back at you. What do you think about the album?
Absolutely. I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you asked me. So I did listen to the album, and I was one of the few women, unfortunately, that did not feel any type of way about what was said. The album's good. Fight me about it if y'all want to. The album's good. I'm not going to say right now it's just like super amazing, but it's not. It's good. It's a good, like more than half songs that's good. The thing about it is like this is rap music, and we all know rap music thrives off of negativity and beef, unfortunately, and reflecting, you know, street situations and things that go on. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, unfortunately, he didn't have to include Meg. But it was fair game because it was public knowledge and he's a rapper and that's what they do. So I feel like he did it a little bit for commercial, but at the same time, you know, it's like it's rap music. Niggas diss niggas every day.
But I still feel like Drake is one of the biggest artists in this century, in fact. And he doesn't need that clout. He already has it.
Yeah.
Got that clout.
He definitely does. So,
but I'll definitely bang to it. I'll definitely listen to it, and then I would send you my own review about it.
Okay, let me know. Let me know. So, you know, 2023 is winding down. You did said you have another, you know, project you're going to release. But is there anything else, you know, we can look forward to coming from you before the year's over?
Oh man, long overdue for my fans. Fever video is going to drop. I'm so stoked out, holding it out. But I've been holding it out because I want the best for you guys. It's going to drop. And when you see the visual, you guys are going to be like, ooh, like that.
Fire, that's that fire. Okay, that's what I like to hear. Absolutely. We love to see that. Absolutely. So I'm first off just so super impressed with you and just, you know, your artist mentality and, you know, everything you've accomplished. As you continue to go through your musical journey, what's one main lesson, you know, or, you know, key of advice that you kind of keep with you as you continue along?
Don't trust everybody in the industry. Don't trust everybody. I have a song about it in my of course, it's gonna be my next EP. And just one line I'm just going to say from that EP is, I said, Jah protect me because there's a lot of snakes and scorpions along the way.
Mm-hmm. Y'all, okay, don't trust these folks. Don't trust these people.
Yeah.
They gonna do you in. They gonna do you in. No, I appreciate that. That's some real advice.
All examples, you know, for you to take a life. It's like, these are people who are part of your community, your friends, people who listen to you every day. Mm-hmm. So we just gotta, like, I just pray Jah just keep us safe and keep our life in good health.
Absolutely. Amen to that, y'all. Because isn't God awesome? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, but I appreciate you for coming on Pillow Talk. I mean, you dropped so much knowledge today, and I know a lot of other, you know, artists are going to take a lot from everything that you said, because you're doing it. You know, you're doing the shit. You're doing the damn thing.
Yo, Robin, it is my pleasure being on here tonight. And I appreciate you, you know, giving artists like myself a voice. We really appreciate what you're doing. And I would keep promoting Pillow Talk for sure. Thank you so much.
Don't forget about me when, you know, you get like verified and you got 100 million followers. Okay. Don't forget about the little people now.
No, we are little people. We are little people.
No, I appreciate that. And thank you. I appreciate you just coming on and being, you know, your vulnerable self. I really enjoy talking with you, for real.
Me too.
Yes. Right. And make sure you guys tap in with him, okay? I have his IG scrolling on the bottom of the screen, okay? You can follow him on IG at Official Jesse Nation. Make sure that you guys tap in with him. No fugazi, baby.
No fugazi.
Okay. We ain't finna fuck around. Make sure y'all subscribe to Pillow Talk Podcast, streaming on all major platforms. Sending love and light to all y'all on this day, man. Peace out.
Thank you.
Thank you.